A wonderful Tuesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Last week was Jaren Jackson Jr.'s, or over the weekend was Jaren Jackson Jr.'s time to shine, making first team all defense after a spectacular season on the defensive end of the ball. Now it's time to celebrate Ja Morant's season. What type of recognition will he receive when it comes to the all-NBA team announcements? That and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you're having an outstanding start to your day. Obviously, we want to thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. Make sure you hit that subscribe button there on YouTube. Let us know you enjoyed the show. Let's other find the show as well. My co-host, Michael Cole, is out on vacation this week. He may or may not join us later this week, but he will be back soon. You can find him at DeMichaelC on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz, and of course, you can find myself, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, right for the about the team over at Grizzly Bear Blues, your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. But you can also find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, free on all podcast platforms. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button on those podcast platforms as well. It allows for you to be updated whenever our content is available. And why would you want to miss all the great content when it comes to the Grizzlies? Yes, the season is over, but with how special of a season that it was, there's still plenty to talk about, and that includes today, in which the 2021-2022 All-NBA teams will be revealed. And how exciting is it to talk about the fact that we are certain that Ja Morant is certainly going to be a part of the All-NBA teams this season? But it gets quite interesting. First off, let's acknowledge the fact that the mere fact that we're talking about Ja Morant with certainty being a member of the 2021-2022 All-NBA teams, that in of itself may be the single most significant statement to make about the Grizzlies season last year. Yes, many expected for him to push perhaps being an all-star this past season, but not only was he a clear all-star starter, every time that he was on the court, nearly every time that he was on the court, he performed at an all-NBA level, and that's why there's so much certainty in expecting for him to be announced as a member of an all-NBA team later tonight. But I will say, with fairness, it gets quite interesting as to just what level of the all-NBA teams Ja Morant will be a part of. Now, I feel that it's fair to say that there are six guards who are in the running. And I know that we can get into debates about, you know, should positions matter? You know, should positions limit who makes first, who makes second, all that different stuff? That's a discussion for another time. But I do believe tonight that there are six guards who are truly in the running for first, second, and third team All-NBA selections. Those guards, in no particular order, are Ja, Trae Young, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul. And I would feel confident in saying that of those six guards, I think that you can take Paul and put him to as the sixth best guard out of that group. I truly think that Chris Paul, despite another outstanding season, led the NBA in assists, was a huge part of the Phoenix Suns having the best record in the league when he was on the court. I think that Chris Paul clearly is a third-team All-NBA selection this year. Now, you get into the other five guards, and it really becomes an interesting discussion, in my opinion, because whatever perspective you put the most value on in determining who was the most impactful guards this year, who played the best among the guards this year, you can make an argument that you can shuffle up the order of the other five guards in a variety of different ways when it comes to Luka, when it comes to Devin Booker, Ja, Steph, and Trae Young. But I think that it's a combination of a lot of different perspectives that starts to set tiers when it comes to these guards. Because, I mean, if you want to talk about from a pure statistical standpoint, it's hard to argue Trae Young having the argument of being an all-NBA first-team selection this season. But, of course, when we come to play translating to wins, it's hard to say that Trae Young has the worst argument of these five players because, you know, obviously with the Warriors, the Suns, the Mavericks, and the Grizzlies' success out west, Trae Young's struggles in the East when it came to the Hawks, though they made the playoffs, you can say that when it comes to individual success impacting team success, there are the other four were far more successful in that specific perspective than Trae Young was. But that may be getting a bit flawed because you're starting to put too much emphasis on team success. And then, of course, the consistency of where these players were. Again, back to a statistical perspective, you know, you could look at a variety of different options. You could look at the fact that Luka Doncic was probably the most dominant, the most impactful, the best backcourt player in the league over the second half of the season. You can make the argument that Ja Morant was the most impactful when he was on the court, perhaps during the first half of the season. Then you could also make the argument that Devin Booker may have been the most consistent throughout the whole season, obviously with him being the best player on the best team in the NBA. My point is that when you look at it from a variety of different perspectives, you can make an argument for different pairs to be at different levels of this All-NBA selection. For one thing, when you look at all three of the, when you look at all five of these guards being talked about and being on the All-NBA selections, all five guards were among the top 10 in guards, among guards in points per game this season. Luka and Trae were at 28.4 points per game. Ja was at 27.4 points per game. Devin Booker at 26.8, and Steph Curry was at 25.5. Now, another thing that you could look at is availability, because Luka and Trae, that Luka played 65 games, Trae 76, Devin Booker 68, Ja 57, and Steph Curry. That's another perspective that may not necessarily be that positive for Ja Morant. Of these players, he played the fewest games. But at the end of the day, I've talked about a variety of different, you know, ways that you can look at the argument of what guard should be at what levels of the All-NBA selections. I think that it is a variety of the perspectives, mixing them all together. And I think that that's where you where it helps Ja Morant. When you combine how statistically good he was when he played, how well that his play translated to winning for the Grizzlies, who had the second best record in the league, the fact that Ja Morant was seventh in the MVP voting, I think what that all leads to is that the most likely scenario for Ja Morant is him being on the second, is him being a part of the All-NBA second team this season. I think that Luka, with him, again, probably being the best backcourt player in the NBA in the second half of this season and how he helped the Mavericks be able to emerge as one of the best teams in the West, I think that that allows for him to be on the first team or the All-NBA first team. Devin Booker, again, his statistics are right there with any of the other guys that we mentioned, but him being the best player on the best team in the NBA, plus the consistency that he's shown all season and also, you know, being available on the court, you know, at least more compared to others, I think that allows for him to be on the first team, the All-NBA first team as well. So I think Luka and Devin Booker are your All-NBA first team backcourt. I think that Ja and Steph are then your All-NBA second team backcourt. They're the best players on the second and third best teams in the West. Statistically, when they were on the court, they match up with the other three to four guards that are being considered for these roles. But the statistics are there. The impact that they made translating to winning was there. And I also think that where they were in terms of being the best players on two of the most successful teams in the NBA, that I think helps their argument. So I think that the All-NBA second team backcourt will then be Ja and Steph. And then when it comes to the third team, I think obviously you've got Chris Paul, but I also think that Trae Young, basically because of how good he was statistically this year, though it didn't necessarily translate to success like the other guards play did, I think that Trae Young is going to be on the All-NBA third team with Chris Paul. But I wouldn't be surprised if Trae Young were to potentially find himself on the All-NBA second team. Is there a chance that could mean Ja could be on the All-NBA third team because he played the fewest games out of all these guards that we're discussing? Sure, that chance is there. But I do think that Ja statistically, from the perspective of his play translating to wins from his team, and from the fact that he clearly was the best player on his team this year for the team that was second in the NBA in wins, I think that that is enough to put Ja Morant to confidently say Ja Morant will be on the All-NBA second team. And I think that that's probably the most fair tiering of these guards. Luka and Devin in the backcourt for the All-NBA first team, Ja and Steph for the All-NBA second team, and Chris Paul and Trae Young for the All-NBA third team. It's going to be exciting to see what occurs. And regardless of what team Ja Morant winds up being on, it's still a tremendous honor and still a tremendous award and recognition and a very special announcement for just how special Ja Morant was this year. A great result and recognition for all the hard work that he put in. Whatever level of the All-NBA teams Ja Morant is announced to be on, it's going to be a special night for both him and the Grizzlies. But the thing about it is that this is something that we've seen before, but where does Ja start to show that this season that he had for the Grizzlies clearly was the best in franchise history? We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, let's discuss with you about Prize Picks. And I'll tell you this, if you were picking Ja Morant or Trae Young, if you were picking any of the players that I just discussed, being among the best bets to get 25 points a night in the NBA this year, you were spot on. Because the great thing about Prize Picks is that it's you picking 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. And the great thing about it is that for a limited time, Prize Picks is an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player on your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Of course, we can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. I want to remind you of the NBA Big Board podcast with Rafael Barlow, Richard Stamen, and others, looking at the 2022 draft prospects leading up to the 2022 draft, which is a month away. Make sure you check out all the great content from the Locked On Podcast Network, but especially NBA Draft Big Board with the 2022 NBA Draft. Make it your second listen of the day after making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. So again, we can speculate from many different perspectives where the 6 guards that I mentioned in the first segment will eventually wind up. And again, I say with confidence, I think that when you combine a lot of these perspectives together, Ja Morant has a very strong case to land on the All-NBA second team. And it'll, of course, be the 4th time that a Grizzlies player has ever landed on an All-NBA team. Mark Gasol was a first team, is the only Grizzlies player to date who made an All-NBA first team back in the 2014-2015 season. He also made the All-NBA second team in the 2012-2013 season when he won NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And Zach Randolph actually made the 2010-2011 third team. So the two biggest talents, arguably, during the grit and grind era, they've been there before. So Ja Morant making an All-NBA team is not an unprecedented occurrence when it comes to Grizzlies franchise history. But the overall production that Ja Morant showed, it certainly is to a different level than what we've seen before. We have not seen a player in Grizzlies franchise history, especially from an offensive perspective. We have not seen a player from an offensive perspective fill up the stat sheet and fill up the stat sheet consistently like Ja Morant. Ja Morant this year averaged 27.4 points per game. Sharif Abdul-Rahim is the only player who is within 6 points in Grizzlies franchise history of Ja Morant's 27.4 points per game. In the Memphis era of the Grizzlies, Mike Conley averaged 21.1 points per game during the 2018-2019 season. Obviously, a very special season in which for his final one in a Grizzlies uniform. But we've not seen a player have the scoring prowess that Ja Morant had. The great thing about it is that Ja Morant, yes, he did not come really close to testing Sharif Abdul-Rahim's 1,829 points in a single season because Ja Morant did miss quite a few games this year. But the fact that Ja Morant was able to consistently be able to score at the level that he did a little bit later on this summer, we'll obviously go over just how historical and how special Ja Morant's season was in a season review. But when you look at the amount of points that he consistently scored, when you look at the amount of assists that he consistently was able to produce, the rebounds, the steals, you've not seen a player in Grizzlies franchise history who was able to come close to what Ja Morant was able to do this season. And the thing about it also is that the jump that you saw in what Ja Morant was able to go from his sophomore year to his third season doing also once again shows why he is the best talent that we've seen over, you know, in Grizzlies franchise history. Ja Morant jumped from 19.1 points per game to 27.4 points per game. A big boost to him was obviously his three-point success, shooting 34.4% this year versus only 30% last year. He was able to see his field goal percentage go from around right under 45% last year to 49.3% this year. So the thing is that Ja, yes, he averaged five more shots per game this year than he did last year, but the point scoring prowess that we saw in the paint, obviously he was able to do enough from three to make teams, you know, have to be honest, have to guard him out on the perimeter. But let's make no mistake, Ja Morant also was able to help get his teammates involved as well. His 6.7 assists per game are actually right there among the top 10 in Grizzlies franchise history. The only players that have been able to have three seasons, or actually, Ja Morant now is the only player who has three different seasons in which he has produced a top 10 season of assists per game in Grizzlies franchise history. Mike Bibby has two of those seasons. Jason Williams has two of those seasons. Mike Conley has two of those seasons. But it's Ja Morant that actually owns three of the top 10 highest assists per game seasons in Grizzlies franchise history. So we're talking about a player who combines the ability to produce like Ja does scoring-wise to a level we have not seen in Grizzlies franchise history. But another underrated part of his game, another underrated consistent part of his game, is that we've not really seen a player consistently be able to produce for his teammates like Ja Morant is. The end of the day, when you're talking about an offensive hub, when you're talking about an offensive talent that on a night-in, night-out basis can go out and directly himself, whether it be through scoring or whether it be through setting his teammates up, you're talking about Ja Morant going out on a nightly basis and producing 45 to 50 points either through scoring or assists. The Grizzlies finally having a player who can do that makes all the difference in the world, especially in today's NBA. And the thing that I will say is this, is that last year during the 2020-2021 season, when we went into April of 2021 and the Grizzlies had arguably the best offensive calendar month that they had had in franchise history, that March into April, we started to see Ja kind of figure it out of going from a player who took it upon himself to score 30, 35, 40 points a game, but not be able to do enough for the offense overall for the Grizzlies to be able to win consistently. But at the end of last year and in the playoffs, we saw Ja Morant start to kind of realize, okay, at times I'm going to have to be a significant distributor. I'm going to have to be a source of playmaking to make my to make the rest of my team produce. That's the best way for us to produce offense right now. I'm going to have to play that role. Or Ja going into being an alpha scorer, one of the best scorers in the NBA like he was this season. We saw glimpses of that during the 2020-2021 season. Last year, or this past season, 2021-2022, we saw Ja put it together. And if you want the best example of Ja knowing what he needs to do and when he needs to do it, either as a playmaker or as a scorer, just look at the playoffs. Against the Timberwolves, Ja was less than 100% more than likely. He was going against a Timberwolves team that was just as good as anybody at the NBA and keeping him from scoring. What did Ja Morant wind up doing? He averaged 10 assists per game in that series, helping his teammates get open, helping his teammates be able to find the scoring opportunities they needed to be able to win games, especially late. But then what did Ja do once the Grizzlies went into this series against the Warriors, in which the rest of the offense really struggled early on in that series? Ja Morant scored 115 points in three games. So that's the reason why Ja Morant is a talent this Grizzlies team has never seen. Whether it be through his playmaking and passing, or whether it be through his scoring, he's already, through his first three seasons in the NBA, through his first three seasons in the Grizzlies uniform, he is producing at levels that we've not seen before when it comes to offense. And just like I talked about with Jaren Jackson Jr., how Jaren was able to turn his potential into production, that's what finally allowed for him to deliver on his talent and unexpectedly win an All-NBA first team defensive honor. That's a big reason why Ja Morant is almost certain to be on one of the three All-NBA teams. It's him turning his potential into production when it comes to being elite at either playmaking or scoring. And not only is he one of the best combinations of that in the NBA now, he far exceeds any type of combination we've seen of that in Grizzlies franchise history. And now is just the beginning. But the other thing that's really exciting to see is, again, that potential turning into production. Going from a few years of seeing the Grizzlies have all NBA rookie team members to now seeing them be on annual all NBA teams in multiple fashions. It's so exciting for the future. And once again, the beginning is just here. We'll discuss that a little bit more in just a second. The other thing, though, I want to talk with you about is rockauto.com. We've talked about it all year long. Ja Morant, he's the straw that stirs the drink, the face of the franchise, but the engine that makes this team run. And at the end of the day, that's the most important part of your car. But your car has several hundred parts that have to work together to be able to make your car run as good as possible. And if you run into issues, I can tell you the best place for you to go to take care of any car parts you need, and that's rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is very easy and simple. Within a few clicks of the button, you'll find what you need, no matter the make and model of the car. Plus, this is a family business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know that car parts can be expensive. They can fall outside your budget. And if that's the case, RockAuto.com is a great place because they're going to make it cost effective for you to get the car parts that you need. When you visit RockAuto.com, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. Cannot thank you enough for checking out Locked On Grizzlies on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Grizzlies. We're going to discuss where Ja Morant landed when it came to his All-NBA selection, plus just how historic stretches of his season were, not only in terms of the Grizzlies, but also the NBA in general. Celebrating the magnificent season of Ja Morant after we learn where he is in the All-NBA teams, that and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So the other really fun thing during this time of year is to see again the progression of this Grizzlies team going from us talking all about its potential to production. You know, we talked about the fact, and if I remember correctly, we talked about the fact that, you know, in a three-year stretch, the Grizzlies had Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, and Desmond Bane. All of those players were members of an all-NBA rookie team for three straight seasons. That was a great compliment to the Grizzlies' ability to draft. It was a great compliment on the Grizzlies' ability to develop. It was a great compliment to those young players coming in and making an immediate impact in all of their cases, in my opinion, to a level that was not expected. But now you're starting to see that it was not just quantity. It was not just these young players being able to put together counting statistics or being able to, you know, their numbers being, you know, fueled by volume. The fact that the Grizzlies are now starting to see these young players transition from winning those All-NBA rookie honors to now winning All-NBA team honors, team awards, being in the voting top 10 for Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, MVP. You're again seeing the transition of potential from production. Because there's not many teams that you see their young cores have that much success, where you go from a three-year stretch between the 2018-2019 season through the 2020-2021 season, where you see your players, four of your players, rightfully be on those All-NBA rookie teams. But then in the season that follows right after that, you've got two of those players in Ja Morant, who's an All-NBA selection, and Jaren Jackson Jr., who's an All-NBA defensive first team selection. If there was an All-NBA all-shooting team, Desmond Bane would be on that list. If there was an all-world reserve team, Brandon Clark better damn well sure be on that list, though it probably would be hard for him to do that. But my point is that you do not usually see this quick of a transition of potential to production, especially when it comes to an entire core for a young team versus just one or two players. I'm not saying we haven't seen it before. The Warriors did it back when their dynasty started. This is something that's happened before. I'm not saying what the Grizzlies are doing is unprecedented, but I am saying that it's rare. Because the Grizzlies now literally boast arguably a top 15 player in the league in Ja Morant, once he's voted as an All-NBA team member, one of the top five or six defenders in the league in Jaren Jackson Jr., and then, in my opinion, one of the top 5 to 10 shooters in the league in Desmond Bane. I know I talk about this subject a lot, and I know I do it from different perspectives, but it's so much fun to see so many different perspectives validate the same thing. You don't see a young core as special as the Grizzlies have going forward. I'm not saying that it's going to be the best trio overall in the NBA over the next 5 to 10 years. Does it have that potential? Yes. I'm not saying that it guarantees the Grizzlies are going to win a championship. But are there many more teams that have a trio that have a championship-type chemistry, that have a championship-type setup? Are there few teams with the core that have aspirations for a title that can confidently say they have aspirations of the title to the level the Grizzlies have? I don't think so. And that's what makes it so exciting. And the key here is that, again, you have room for improvement as well. If Jaren Jackson Jr., as I mentioned on yesterday's show, is able to put some of the components from his sophomore year in offense together with another dominant all-defensive season, you've got a guy who's pushing All-NBA levels. If Ja Morant's consistently going to be able to hit threes better moving on, can stay on the court a bit more during the season, you've got a legitimate candidate for first-team All-NBA. You've got a legitimate MVP candidate. And then if Desmond Bane is able to shoot the three, and if he continues to take advantage of his strides in his game where he wants to shoot 8 to 10 threes per game and get better at all three levels, you've got a guy who probably can push to make an all-star team a few times during his career. Again, this is not unprecedented. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies, I'm not saying that Ja and Desmond Bane overall are to the level of a Chris Paul and a Devin Booker, or that they're to a level of a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson. But there's indications that they could be one day. Again, maybe not as historic as the Splash Brothers. And they may not be as overall a duo of talent like Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But in terms of being a championship backcourt, with Ja Morant being the best player, Desmond Bane being the perfect complement to him, you've got all the makings of the Grizzlies having one of the best 1-2 combinations in the backcourt moving forward. And now you throw in Jaren Jackson Jr.'s dominance on defense. Ja Morant consistently is someone that points out that when he wins an individual award, it's recognition of the entire team's efforts to support him. It's recognition of all the hard work that the team has done to make the most of him continuing to exceed expectations, his progression to superstardom continuing. In this case, it's the same thing. But while many of these Grizzlies will gladly compliment the rest of the roster around them that has helped them individually get to where they want to go, it's really, really fun to start seeing on an individual basis the level to which the Grizzlies are right now and them rightfully receiving recognition for where they are right now, but also where they could go from here. As I stated all year long, at the end of the day, yes, I can honestly say I wanted to go all the way as badly as anyone. I wanted to beat the Warriors bad. I felt that a competitive second round matchup where the Grizzlies potentially were not able to go to the Western Conference Finals, that always was likely going to be the most likely scenario for this season. However, and I will continue to say this about the 2021-2022 season for as long as I possibly can, the biggest development from this year is the progression of Ja, Bane, and Jaren, transferring their potential to production. And each of them in their own specific ways, becoming one of the best in the NBA at their strengths. Ja is an all-around offensive talent, top 15 in the league. Desmond Bane is a shooter, top five in the league. Jaren, top six or seven defender in the league. We're not just talking about this Grizzlies trio being one of the best young cores in the league because they still got a lot of potential. We are now talking about this Grizzlies trio all going into next season, 24 and under. We're talking about this trio being among the best in the NBA individually at what they do best. And what they individually do best complements the other two so well to make this a true championship potential core. And it's amazing again to see that the individual recognition is occurring, but it's also a great indicator that the ultimate goal is certainly within reach in the future, and that's winning an NBA title. So make no mistake, the talk about Ja Morant is not done at all, or should it be? We are going to make sure to have a fun episode tomorrow celebrating the official recognition of Ja Morant as an All-NBA team member. Hopefully second team. Heck, maybe we'll get the ultimate surprise and he'll be first team. I'm not expecting it, but I was a bit surprised when Jaren made All-NBA first team. Maybe we'll be surprised once again. Cam, thank you enough for checking us out here at Locked On Grizzlies. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast, wherever it's free on all podcast platforms. Just hit that subscribe button below. Also at Locked On Grizz, my co-host at DeMichael C on Twitter as well. And again, right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. We all know that you enjoy the show. It helps others be able to find the show as well. Until tomorrow, here's hoping. A first or second team All-NBA selection awaits Ja Morant, and we'll break it all down on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, have a great day.